last night I had a dream that the world had turned around. And all our hopes had come to be, and the people gathered around. And they all brought what they could bring, and nobody went without. I learned a song to sing. The revolution starts now.
Good afternoon, Richmond. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio. I'm your host, Rebecca Farris, and I'm here every Tuesday introducing you to people who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. We have a show today with Dr. Karen Davis, the director and founder of United Poultry Concerns down in Machapongo. And some of the information on the show today about the circumstances surrounding bringing that turkey to your holiday table are graphic. So if you have children listening to the radio with you, you might suggest that they go to another room. I have two event announcements for you before we get into our interview with Dr. Davis. Tonight, from 6:45 until 8:15, there is going to be a program at the Good Foods Grocery, 1309 Gaskins Road, upstairs on the second floor. And Tammy Hulcher is going to be talking about foods that prevent cancer, foods that beat cancer. So tonight at the Good Foods Grocery, 1309 Gaskins Road, 6:45 p.m. Also, remember that the Vegetarian Society of Richmond is holding their annual vegan Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day at 4 p.m. at the Friends Meeting House, 4500 Kensington Avenue. If you want to find out more about that, you can give them a call, 344-4356, or you can go to their website, vsr.org. I'd like to now introduce everybody to Dr. Karen Davis. Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. You know some turkeys personally, so I really appreciate you helping our listeners better understand the circumstances and the consequences a choice to eat a turkey really involve. That frozen carcass that looks so neatly packaged at the grocery store was not merely a flesh factory, was it?
No, Rebecca. This carcass was a living being who had a face attached to the body that is now wrapped in cellophane and who had a life and a personality that was destroyed. I can speak personally about turkeys and how alive they are and what wonderful personalities they have from having had several turkeys in our sanctuary since 1990. And we currently have a lovely female turkey who's been here for 4 years named Amelia. And she gets along great with the chickens and she is friendly with everybody. She's especially friendly with our elderly white pekin duck named Terrain. And the two of them love to sit in the sun together, like right now at this very moment. They're outside in the sun, sunning themselves, and the two of them often like to stay out as late as possible, even when all the chickens have gone to roost. So I can assure you that turkeys are just really, they're very alive, they're very lively, they're full of personality and curiosity and alertness. And even having been bred for the meat industry has not changed at all the intelligence or alertness of turkeys. And I can vouch for that from my own experience with Amelia and other turkeys we have had and loved over the years. The life of turkeys, people should know that, you know, turkeys are at home in virtually every type of habitat except for extremely cold regions of Canada or Alaska. Other than that, though, turkeys can adapt to a wide range of temperatures. They are flock birds in the 19th century. Reporters and letter writers and others described how the trees were just filled for a mile or more in the evening of all of the turkeys gathered together on the branches. And all of those desires are still in the modern turkeys bred for meat production. The sad thing is that they have been bred to be so heavy that they cannot fly up on branches as their wild counterparts do, as they would like to do. So they try to fly up on little roosting areas and places they can reach. But that essential nature that has been overwhelmed by so much rapid growth and body weight, so people will have a big fat carcass on their table, that bird essentially is the same bird inside as the bird who is out in the forest and the fields. Turkeys who are bred for meat production are treated horribly. They are de-beaked, which is a painful operation since birds have nerve endings in their beaks even before they're born while they are still embryos, and that includes turkeys. The turkeys are mutilated as soon as they hatch from the eggs in the mechanical hatcheries. They are painfully de-beaked. They have the part of their toes removed, they have a fleshy appendage on their heads called a snood, and that is yanked off. So as soon as they're born, instead of experiencing the warmth and care and nurturing of the mother turkey hen, they experience the violence of human beings mutilating them and throwing them down long stainless steel conveyors to go from one mutilation station to another. And when all of this has been completed, those who live, because many die of shock and blood loss and so on as the mutilations continue in the hatchery, they are then packed in boxes, again, very harshly. They're treated without any consideration or compassion at all as living beings. And they are sent to what's called the turkey grower house, where the baby birds are forced to grow over a period of about 3 or 4 months to an average weight of about 30 pounds, very, very heavy at such a young age, and again, responsible for many heart problems in the birds, many skeletal problems leading to lameness. And many birds have heart attacks in their infancy in these huge, crowded, filthy, dirty, polluted turkey houses. These turkey houses are not filthy, dirty, and polluted because of the turkeys themselves. They would never choose to live in such horrible conditions, but because they are forced to be so crowded and to be unable to escape from the excrement, to be unable to escape from the feathers floating around and all of the debris, all of the the insecticides that's sometimes in their food or sprayed around. There are also all kinds of bacteria that necessarily breed in places like that, the same as with human beings being crowded together. We know that slums breed illness in human beings, and turkeys are forced to live in slums, even more concentrated than a typical human-type slum. The birds have no room. They are, when they're very young, they have some room to move around a little in the totally enclosed turkey houses, but they have been bred and fed to grow at an abnormally large rate of growth and to grow to an abnormally large size, so that within a very short time, a month or so, they're starting to be so crowded they have no room to move, which is why the industry burns their beaks off, because the birds who have a natural need to forage with their beaks, that is to peck the ground to find food with their beaks and claws, these characteristics have no outlet in the crowded, filthy turkey houses. So the turkeys, they're frustrated because they can't exercise their natural behaviors. They're frustrated because they can't escape from one another. And just as we hear about humans picking on each other when they get irritated and are stuck in a situation that is, too long to be there or just nerve-wracking, turkeys, too, are like us. They get on each other's nerves, they're frustrated, and they will pick at each other just out of frustration, not out of some kind of nasty aggression. It's just that when you take living beings who have an inborn set of behavior patterns that have no opportunity to be exercised, and you put them in a situation that is polluted with filth, which no turkey would choose to live in voluntarily, you're going to have abnormal behaviors spring up. And turkeys pecking at each other at close range because they can't escape each other and they're frustrated and depressed, or if there's a sudden noise or something, that scares them. Well, if it's out in the woods, they can just run off. They have excellent legs to run. They can fly up into a tree branch. They can get away. And but in these turkey houses, they can't get away. So they will pile up on each other, just the way we hear people if a sudden alarm goes off in what is usually referred to as a crowded theater or something like that. People will tend to rush all together into and stampede into a corner. And we know that at sports events and other types of events where a crowd behaves like this, people end up dying and being injured. Well, the turkeys are no different. They have no place to run and no place to hide. So therefore, the industry deals with the kind of scratching that could, you know, wreck the carcass. They don't care about the birds, but just could wreck the market value of the carcass. So that's why they burn their toe, a large part of their toes off, which, of course, adds to the problem that the turkeys even have walking because they're so heavy, and they then have these mutilated toes, which simply add to the disability they experience in being able to walk naturally. And I just want to emphasize how terrible it is for a bird or any creature to essentially be locked into a body that is alien to them and that is destructive to who they are within themselves. And that is what we have done to these birds, merely to feast on their dead bodies when we have so much other wonderful non-animal food to feast on and celebrate over. I would also mention, too, that unfortunately, this is not the end of the misery of these birds' lives, not by a long shot. After 3 or 4 months of living in these filthy concentration camp conditions, the birds are grabbed as harshly as possible, upside down by their legs, and they are just thrown into transport crates. And they are transported to the slaughter plants. Now, all birds who constitute the largest number of land animals slaughtered in the United States for food each year. We're talking about 9 out of 10 billion land animals. The number exceeded only by the number of sea animals being killed in various ways for human consumption per year. These birds are not even covered by the federal U.S. Humane Methods of Slaughter Act. Not that that would protect them necessarily, because animals who are covered are treated atrociously in the slaughter plants, but it still is significant that that these birds, who are every bit as sensitive and have the same feelings, the same capacity for pain and suffering as a cow or a pig or a sheep or a goat, that these birds have no coverage even in our country, even under the Humane Methods of Slaughter Act. What they go through in the slaughter plants is this. They are, after they have been grabbed upside down by their legs and thrown into the turkey transport crates, then once they arrive at the slaughter plant, they are grabbed just as brutally out of the transport crates and very rapidly. All of this slaughter plant activity takes place very rapidly. They are hung upside down, very, very painful to be hung upside down, even worse when you're very heavy, as these turkeys have been bred to be. And very painful to their hip joints. Many times their hip joints simply, their legs become dislocated and so on. Anyway, they're hung upside down. And then they go through what is called an electrified water bath stun cabinet. But what we need to understand is that the so-called electrified water bath stun cabinet is not intended to stun the birds. That is, it is not intended or designed to render the turkeys or chickens, as the case may be, or ducks, either pain-free or unconscious. The whole purpose of this horrible dipping into electrified water is to paralyze the birds' muscles, the muscles of their feather follicles, so that after the birds have been scalded and are officially dead, their feathers can be plucked out more easily. They are also subjected to these paralytic electric shocks so that they will be immobilized on the slaughter line, because otherwise they would be flapping wildly under the terror and the excruciating pain that they are enduring, first of all, in just the way they are being handled, how they are being hung upside down in nature. They don't ever experience being hung upside down. And then having their throats cut, and anybody who thinks that slaughter, i.e., having your throat cut, is a humane ordeal, should ask themselves whether they would like to be euthanized by having a knife cut through the skin of their throat into their blood vessels, choke to death slowly on their own blood, suffocate slowly, because that's really what these turkeys endure. Only in a standard commercial turkey slaughter plant, before they endure the excruciation of neck cutting, they are, as I said, filled with agonizing, paralyzing electric shocks, which are unimaginable, if anybody can imagine who has simply gotten a little shock on their finger. But they can't move. They cannot express the agony that is going through their bodies because they've been paralyzed with the electricity. The poultry industry intentionally keeps all birds alive through the slaughter process, so that they will bleed out in about 90 seconds, and then, dead or alive, they are thrown into scald water, what's called scald tanks, extremely hot water, where the birds have been documented, those who are still alive, which includes millions of birds every year, they have been documented struggling in the scalding water. Their eyes pop out, their eyeballs literally pop out of their heads. They break their bones in the struggle, and eventually, in the final agony of a life that is beyond miserable, they die in the scald water. And after that, what happens to them, we hope, is no longer something that they are experiencing, because that's what should be called processing, rather than calling the entire slaughter process processing, which is how the industry seeks to make the slaughter sound bland, when in fact it is pure torture for these birds.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Indie Media Live on WRIR. We're talking with Dr. Karen Davis, the director and founder of United Poultry Concerns down in Machapango. And we are talking about the situation and circumstances surrounding the choice of eating turkey. Karen, I know that people will have an opportunity this holiday to come down to Machapango and meet some of the turkeys and the ducks and the chickens. Could you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Rebecca, first of all, this is our 20th annual Thanksgiving open house. It is free to the public. We always hold it on the Saturday immediately following Thanksgiving Day. This year, our Thanksgiving open house in Machapongo, Virginia, on the lower eastern shore of Virginia, will be held on Saturday, November 27th, from 2 to 5 p.m. We invite people to bring an all-vegetarian, that is, a vegan dish, which means no animal products, cooking without using animals. We ask that they bring a dish that could serve about four people. We also provide a wonderful, wonderful pasta meal for those who cannot bring a dish, or just to support our local Italian restaurant here in Machapongo called Little Italy. So we have a huge amount of wonderful salad that Little Italy provides, along with wonderful linguine or some kind of other delicious all-vegetarian pasta dish. We invite people to come and meet our birds. We know that when people actually come to our sanctuary and they meet Amelia, our turkey, who I talked about at the beginning of the show, or they meet our duck, Terrain, who I mentioned, and all of our wonderful roosters and hens, Mr. Frizzle, who's one of our dearest little roosters here, and Rhubarb, and our wonderful hens. We have many hens here who have been rescued from various wretched situations, and we love for people to come and mingle with the birds and get to know them as the individuals they are. Well, it's a short amount of time, but still, people are enchanted by the birds. They love to see how the birds enjoy the sunlight, and in the winter, the chickens follow the sun around the yard where there's a sunspot here, a sunspot there. There, the chickens and our turkey and our duck will usually be soaking up the sun. And they just get a chance to see how pleasant and how cheerful these birds are. And, you know, and kind of to have a, in the back of their mind that these birds came here from conditions that are similar to what I described a few minutes ago. But here they are, they're enjoying their lives, they love to be under the trees, they love to be able to scratch in the ground, as I said, they love the sun, they love the earth, and the earth is where these birds belong. It's a terrible thing to take away a creature's earth rights and deprive them of the most elemental joy, which is, in the case of chickens, turkeys, and certainly ducks who love to love the ground, they love the water and everything. And many people aren't even aware that turkeys can even swim. Turkeys are at home in the air. They're at home in the water. They don't do a lot of swimming, but they can do it, and they can enjoy it. And, of course, they love to run and walk, and they're very active birds. And people see when they come to our sanctuary how active all of our birds are, and also how they love to be in repose as well. They love to rest together. They love sitting together. A number of our hens love to sit together in the trees in the mid-afternoon and just kind of, you know, be there and hang out and enjoy what life has to offer. So with that, they share our joy in being able to be alive and to be in the out-of-doors and to not be afraid, but to feel safe and to feel comfortable and to be able to socialize with each other in a place that provides that opportunity. For people who would like to come to our Thanksgiving open house on Saturday, November 27th from 2 to 5 p.m., they can just go right to our website and right on the top and in the center of our homepage, they will see a picture of one of our members, a man named Richard, with Amelia, our turkey, and they click that on, and they will get all the information, including directions on how to get here from Richmond and from Norfolk and from Washington, D.C. And our website address is www.upc-online.org. Again, www.upc-online.org.
Karen, one of the reasons I wanted to do this show today is because last week I was running with my dogs down by the river, and the Rivanna River, and we came upon a tom and three hens. And like you said, they flew so majestically through the forest in front of us. I was just so touched by that, knowing about the billions of turkeys that do not enjoy that natural life. It was a stunning moment for me.
Well, you know, when people have reported on seeing turkeys in their natural habitat, which is really, as I said, the woods, the meadow, the trees, the forest, they often see a wonderful image of turkeys being turkeys, doing some of the things that turkeys do. And they have a majestic flight, as you said. It's interesting, they're very heavy birds, but they have this marvelous majestic flight. And they have a turkey dance. I'd actually like to read briefly something that an observer saw when one evening he came upon an evening dance of turkeys. And by the way, I reported this in my book about turkeys called More Than a Meal, The Turkey in History, Myth, Ritual, and Reality. He wrote, quote, "In the evening, I heard a flock of wild turkeys calling. They were not calling strayed members of the flock. They were just having a twilight frolic before going to roost. They kept dashing at one another in mock anger, stridently calling all the while, almost playfully leapfrogging in their antics. Their notes were bold and clear. For about 5 minutes, they played on the brown, pine straw floor of the forest. Then, as if at a signal, they assumed a sudden stealth and stole off into the glimmering shadows. So that is one image, again, of turkeys, how sociable they are together, how they enjoy being each other. And one of the saddest things to read about turkeys in these crowded, filthy turkey houses where they await getting large enough to be sent off to slaughter is that if and when a friend, a colleague of theirs, dies in the turkey house, the turkeys will gather around him or her and express a kind of a sense that a flock member has died. This is not just some kind of automatic behavior. This is something that reflects the fact that turkeys are very, very aware of one another and of one another's experiences. We have heard how turkeys in the early morning call back and forth to each other on the branches, often before they even leap down in the morning to start foraging and enjoying their day. Turkeys are, people have talked about how one turkey will give a signal and all the others will respond. And it's a mystery how the signal of one turkey will resonate through an entire flock of maybe 100 or more turkeys and galvanize them mysteriously at that signal to a sudden action. So one of the things this tells us is that turkeys, like all creatures who live together as social beings, are very intelligent and in ways that really elude our full understanding, that they have relationships with each other and with one another as flock members that do not readily lend themselves to a clear grasp of what is going on there. But we know that it's something, if however obscure, is nonetheless a profound, and that is deeply embedded in who they are genetically, historically, and through the very processes of evolution of which they are one expression.
Dr. Karen Davis, the director and founder of United Poultry Concerns, thank you so much for helping us understand more about that neatly packaged frozen carcass in the grocery store as people are making their choices this holiday season and every day throughout the year. It's important to have all the information as we make those choices. Author, Prison Chickens, Poison Eggs, just came out this year in a revised edition. Karen, thank you so much. upc-online.org.
May I quickly intervene that if people do go to our website and they scroll down on the left side of our homepage, they'll come to where it says diet. And if they click that on, they will see three categories, one of which is recipes. And if they click that on, they will see some marvelous Thanksgiving holiday recipes and recipes for all year round that are kind to animals, kind to the earth, and will certainly be kind to them.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Jesse in the booth and Tim, our amazing engineer and blogmaster, and all the other wonderful volunteers that make Indie Media Live possible, thank you so much for listening. Until next week, when my guest will be the group Richmond Friends of Animals, be kind to each other, be kind to the animals, be kind to the earth, but don't be silent, because silence is the voice of complicity. Go to our blog and let us hear from you, indiemedialive.blogspot.com. We wish you peace.